Gainesville.
Welcome to the Calvary Baptist Church broadcast, presented by Calvary Baptist Church in Gainesville, Georgia. We are a small but growing group of believers in Jesus Christ and want to invite you and your family to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. The church is located at 1370 Calvary Church Road in Gainesville. And now to bring you today's message, here's Pastor Raymond Laddie.
Where there is sin and horror and shortcoming and not measuring up to God, God can heap on a greater measure of grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. He does that. Amen. Like in those children in Africa. Those are going to be the greatest in heaven, people like that. It ain't going to be these politicians that are absolutely as worthless as boar tits that we have anymore. All right? It ain't going to be these politicians. It's going to be these who simply believe in Christ and have trusted Him. I hope you like that old saying. Probably shouldn't have used that. But that's about how they, it's about what they are right now. People ain't getting paid. It's just amazing. Different sermon there. So we have to know how to discern demonic activity. Is there demonic activity? Yes. Worst thing you can do is say, no, that's a bunch of old religious stuff. I mean, you see it every day. You see people walking around with T-shirts that have the New Age. We live in an age of New Age mysticism, okay? New Age mysticism and occultism and people say, well, these foods are good to eat and these foods are not good to eat. It gets into a lot of things that are not biblical and not scriptural. So Satan was thrown out of heaven with these demons. Demons can manifest themselves just as angels as human in human form. In human form. We hear people talk about, different encounters they may or may not have, whether it be a figment of imagination or not. Some of you may believe you've entertained demons at some point. I believe in some of the darker places of the earth that happens quite a bit. I've heard missionaries talk about Satan's oppression that they could feel and sense, and how the Holy Spirit led them to pray, to quote the name of Jesus, to quote Scripture, to pray together to overcome the dominion and the oppression that and the foothold that Satan had in that village or in that area. Let me tell you something today. Just because we are the United States of America, this may be one of the most demonic places on the earth now. Because Jesus said, if I deliver a demon from a man, and he did that, and I am not invited in to stay there and or pushed out, then that demon will return sevenfold. That's what's happened in our nation as a whole. Jesus has been pushed out, and that's why we have the chaos and the darkness and the horrible things going on and the shootings and the killings and on and on and on, is because that's what's happened in the last 50 years in this nation. So we are going to be subjected to more demonic activity, and we need to be ready for that. Now, that don't mean I'm scared. As we say down here, I ain't scared, okay? I ain't scared of no ghost. Y'all remember, 80s kids remember that? Yeah. It means that he's going to be very subtle. In human form, he's going to be very subtle, going to be able to move. Can enter the physical from the supernatural and enter the supernatural back from the physical. You see, these demons get their orders from the very leader that is talked about here, the very leader that messed up Adam and Eve and tempted them and they fell into sin. The very leader that took Jesus out as Jesus was about to begin his ministry. If Jesus had to be afflicted and to be persecuted by demons, I can promise you, believer, that you will as well. Amen. You're going to be dealt. You're going to be persecuted and afflicted. And the way that happens, you may swear it's not a demon, but it could be. Or the influences of a demon. All right? So, let's I want to go back to Ezekiel. I didn't include this in the slide. Ezekiel And I want to look at the same account or a different approach by Ezekiel from the Old Testament. He's talking about the king of Tyre and a defeat of the king of Tyre, but he's also alluding to the king of Tyre, which Tyre is a place that still exists, the king of Tyre being led, whether he realized it or not. Many times that happens with demon influence. People don't realize they're being led astray. It could be our job and is our job to help reveal that to him. But that the king of Tyre was oppressing God's people, the nation of Israel. And I really like that in devotion where it talked about Israel being everything, because that's how God entered to save the world. I really like that this morning. But I want you to listen to this. Ezekiel's talking on the physical side, I believe, or God is talking on the physical side through Ezekiel to the king of Tyre in a time of warfare. But I also believe God is speaking here in the same approach to Satan from a time much earlier in the supernatural. It says, "You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created." God created demons, but not as demons. He created them as angels, but then they chose to become demons. A side note. "You were anointed," in verse 14, "the cherub who covers. I established you," God says, as he says to Satan, he's saying this to the king of Tyre, I believe. "You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you." That's the time that Satan said, I'm going to overthrow him. "By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you. And I turned you to ashes upon the earth, and the sight of all who saw you." We talk about horror and things that we can't look away from. We can't unsee, is what people say these days. "All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror." You have become a horror. Not only Satan has, but the demons, and shall be no more forever. Demons are real. They slink about the earth. They're sent out and given instruction by Satan himself. They have names. We have Apollyon. We have Beelzebub. We have many that have names that I can't remember. Behemoth, on and on and on, that influenced and tried to pull people away from God. But I'm thankful, and here's where we change gears a little bit. I'm thankful that in all this darkness, that light came into the world. Amen. That light began to shine. That Jesus, before he did anything, had to deal with the demons that tempted him. Let's go over to Matthew chapter. Did I put that up there, Chad? I can't remember. I think it's in an early part of Matthew. Jesus begins his ministry. Matthew chapter, chapter 4. Let's go to, let's start with verse 1. "This is how I know, because of the perfection of our faith, Jesus, that we're going to deal with demons." Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. When then Jesus was led up by the Spirit. And this was not an evil spirit. This was a Holy Spirit that led him and pointed the way to a perfect human being for his path to win back heaven and a good eternity for us. Was led up by the Spirit unto the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Why would God do that? Through the Spirit, to illustrate the great battle that was before him then, that he would deal with throughout his ministry and even when he went to the cross, and to remind us of the great battle that's before us today. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterward Jesus was hungry. Now, if I hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights, I'm going to be very, very vulnerable. I'm going to be trying to eat everything. I can't do it for 40 minutes and 40 seconds. I mean, let's be honest. Most of us cannot. He was hungry. He was physically weak, as we all become. We become physically weak, whether it be through lack of food or because of what we're subjected to in this fallen world. Now it says in verse 3 that the tempter came to him. I got news for you. The tempter came to him. The tempter, Satan and his demons, is going to come to you. Amen. And tempt you. You know, Jesus warned of a sifting with his disciples, how Satan would be allowed, and God ordained this. God allows these things, and it's not always understandable. God allowed Job to undergo what he went through. If we know a little bit about Job, Job went through hell. I mean, just to say it, Job went through a whole lot of that. God allowed him to because it was going to refine him. It was going to prepare him. And it's going to be an example for us. And here's the ultimate example. Satan came up and said, I know you're hungry. Whatever our weakness and our temptation is in the dark of night, in the wee hours of the morning, on Friday night when we're tempted to go out and to that bar and do things we all know we ought not to be doing. Satan's saying, yeah, you're thirsty, you're hungry. I got something that you can't do without. His whole goal is not to satisfy you, but to destroy you. Amen. He'll do it through beautiful women, men. Women, he can do it through handsome men. He can do it through the computer screen, the phone screen, the pages of a book. Definitely does it through what comes through our TV screens that we buy, the monster biggest ones we can find. It's so subtle, and you look at it and go, there's nothing wrong with that. But then it's so subtle and so cunning, and Satan has crafted and planned it for a long time to get you. And some people fall victim to it, and they're destroyed. 32-year-old young ladies that die from overdoses. That happened to my family. And I could go on and on and on. Alcohol deaths. People who go shoot up schools. I mean, on and on and on. Or it can be as subtle as you casting a glance to someone other than your wife, man. Or not standing up when you know something's right because you don't want to stick out like a sore thumb. Peer pressure affects all ages. And say what needs to be said because we're afraid of the consequences. You see, that's how Satan and his demons work. They plan and plot. It's not some random thing. He knows our weaknesses. They are intelligent. They are supernatural. Demons understand more than we do. They're angels that have fallen. They know your weaknesses. They know what button to push. They know how to work on you little by little by little. That's what's happened to the foundations of this very country. Chipped away little by little. And then we wake up and go, this isn't the country I knew. You can say that again. The tempter is prevailing here. Satan is moving and he's conquering territory. And if we don't get back up and become Christ-centered demon hunters in our lives, and in our halls of government and in our schools and get on our knees. It's not about getting an AK-47. It's about getting down on our knees and wielding the weapons of supernatural warfare that we read about in Ephesians. It's about praying. Amen. Getting saturated with the gospel. Going to that Sunday school class. Sacrificing something. That's what Jesus did here. It says, when the tempter came to him, he said, now, if you're the Son of God, think of it. He was throwing all that power into his face. He said, if you're the Son of God, take these stones and eat. Eat. We as humans, we want that instant gratification. We live in an instant gratification world. We want the money now. We want the hamburger now. If it's a minute late, we get all bent out of shape. Instant gratification, especially when we are weak. And I've been there. It becomes so easy. But Jesus, what did he do? He began to quote Deuteronomy. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's the key to life. Got to think it wasn't easy for him on that human side. He was hungry. No doubt he had prayed. He had prayed and prayed and prayed. He was by himself. It was just him, the Savior of mankind and the great destroyer. The Lion of Judah, and the one who would go around like a roaring lion seeking to destroy those that he could deceive and tempt and win over. Verse 5, the devil took him up to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple where God meets earth right here, the pinnacle of the temple, which that is in Israel now. And God still has great plans for it. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. He's saying, throw yourself down. Remember who you are as king. That the very universe, he was over Satan at this point. He was allowing Satan a bit of dominion. That's going to soon end. He said, throw yourself down. Let the angels catch you. Revel and enjoy that power. You see, as I've said before, with power comes great responsibility and potential freedom. And Jesus knew how to wield power unlike anybody else because he was God and man at the same time. Took him up on a seely high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world here. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. He saw all the kingdoms. He saw the United States of America, and he saw Donald Trump and all the power that we still have, although it is diminishing. He saw the British Empire, on which the sun never set. He saw the great dynasties in China. He saw the kings of Israel. He saw the great Native American civilizations that existed here, the mounds and all those who had all this power. He said, I give you all the kingdoms of the earth. Jesus, in finality, said, away with you. Get away from me. And that's exactly what we have to do. And we can do this boldly by and only by the blood of Christ, a risen Savior. Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. He went back to Scripture, and he boldly stated this, and it says in verse 11, I want you to remember this, the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. I want you to know something today. You're going to run into demon influences. I mean, we'll embrace the Stranger Things and all these other things that I've talked about, but many times we will dismiss this stuff as mythology. This is the truth. You're going to run into demon influences. You're going to deal with them. Sometimes Satan comes in the name of religion. Satan comes in the name of religion, and it seems like it's the most wonderful thing. And it seems like it's just like Christianity. And then subtly says, in some way, you know, maybe there is another way to God except Jesus. And people in our woke age go, yeah, you know, that's right, it's not fair. Not fair that we would say, or God would say, there's only one way. It must be wrong. And he subtly leads them to their eternal doom if they don't come back to the fact, as Peter and John preached and taught, there is no other name under heaven by which men might be saved than Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. There is no other name under heaven, no other name under heaven which you may overcome your demons than by the testimony, the power, and the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we need to welcome him into every nook and cranny of our life, because these demons are real. These demons are real. Lord, my prayer would be for you today, as well for myself, that he would give us a discernment to be able to point out subtle demon, not demonic influences, and we can react accordingly. Submit to God. Humble yourselves. Realize that on your own, you have no power. You're going to lose and be tempted successfully by Satan every time. But when you mention the very name of Jesus Christ, and you submit to that name, and you allow the power that was won on the cross at Calvary, the power that is in the shed blood of Christ, to indwell you, and you trust him and say, Lord, fight this battle, Satan has to flee, because at the end of the day, and the end of the age, and the end of time, Christ is Lord. Christ is Lord. Satan, one of these days, it tells us in Revelation, and his demons, is going to be bound up and cast into the lake of fire. And any unbelieving human shall be sent there. It's going to be a package deal for the unbelievers into this burning lake of fire for eternity. And it says he'll be released for a little while for a great battle. So God's plan that we don't always understand. But I say all this today to hopefully give you an understanding of biblical demons. Give you another example really quick, was when the Hebrew men under Joshua and Caleb and some of the spies defeated the Anakim, or the giants. God defeated them through them. They were Nephilim. They were the offspring of angels, demons, and men. So they had a supernatural power. A man that's 9 foot, 9 inches tall up against a little red-headed shepherd boy. That seems unfair in the supernatural and in the physical, yet God gave David the victory. And I want to tell you here today that whatever giants, demonic temptations, or influences you may be facing, that out of the root of Jesse, through the line of David, there is one who has come, who has went to the cross, who went through these temptations, overcome them, and by his example and by his power only, you can overcome. I want you to know that today. I want to go back to where we started, and I'll end with this. Back over to Revelation. I want to read you the second part of this great conflict after Satan is thrown out of heaven. Here's your key. Because I believe that we're going to be subjected to more and more demonic activity. You see, they know their time is short, that Christ is soon to return, that everything's going to be finished. They're amassing an army and unleashing that army that rivals anything on the earth. Verse 10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven. Here's what I love. And here's the hope and the assurance of God. Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. That light has shined into the most primitive of societies, into the most demonic of societies. It continues to. And people are coming to Jesus. They're being delivered from this accuser. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That's how they overcame. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, and I'll leave you with this, brothers and sisters, beloved, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. But salvation and strength have come from God through his kingdom and through the sacrifice of Jesus. I pray today as we close and get ready to have this invitation that you might become a Christ-centered demon hunter and eradicate them wherever they may be, whatever it may be, an addiction, a propensity to do this or to do that. It can be gambling. It can be so many different things. Submit to Christ and say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Submit to him and he will overcome. He will make you a part of his victory. He will forgive you. If you've never been saved, he will save you. And he will give you the ability to be able to hunt these demons down and deal with them in your own personal life or sometimes on the behalf of others. That's what we're called to do. We're called and sent into the world as born-again believers to establish God's kingdom. One soul, one heart, one saved individual at a time, but by the power of Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for an understanding, Father, although it goes so deep and it's hard to understand all of it, of our enemies. Father, I pray today that we would admit that we face them, Lord, and admit that we can't overcome them on our own. Father, so many have been led to early deaths and their lives wasted, Father, due to the terrible influence of demons. Lord, we pray that you would, Father, help us be able to identify them in our own lives first and to isolate them and to tell them to flee. Father, Jesus did it. Sent them into pigs from a man who was, Father, made crazy, made, a mess by these demons. Father, I pray that we don't take these things lightly because they are real. Father, I pray today that we would let you point out in our lives what sins, what influences may be there, and that we would come boldly before your throne in the name of Jesus for help, for deliverance, for power, for victory, Father. Lord, thank you so much that we have a light that shines into this dark and ever-darkening world, that Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and will be forever, that Satan is amassing all of his troops, all of his demons right now, Father, to try to bring as many with him as possible. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for salvations, for deliverances, for love in these people's lives. Father, we turn this time of invitation over to you. And as we enter this week, Father, where we have some fun and just enjoy the things of the fall, I pray that we would have some seriousness in our lives and say, Lord, draw me closer to you. Or maybe, Lord, save me. I trust you. And Father, once we're sealed in your care and in your possession, we are forever. Bless each one here today, Father. Touch them in a special way. Speak to them through the Spirit. Thank you for our Savior who modeled, Father, our behavior that we should follow and who's shown us by example how we can overcome and what he did. Is the ultimate sacrifice, Father. He lives today. He's listening. He's waiting for someone to come back to you through him. Thank you. And we love you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the Calvary Baptist Church broadcast. To hear more of this service, other past services, or to learn more about our programs and ministries, feel free to check out our website, calvarybcgainesville.org.
97.5 Glory FM, your family radio station.